Morning, everyone. Okay, so we're going to start we're going to Israel on the 13th. We'll arrive on the 14th of September. And, of course, we lived there for some years on a visa, on a tourist visa for some years, back 2002 through 2009 or 2003 maybe, through 2009. And then we've been back into Israel several times. And then recently we've been in Malta also and just sharing the Lord there. I got a couple of pictures here to show you. The first picture is actually in Israel. So you've all heard of the Temple Mount, right? And the Jewish temple that they want to rebuild. And we know that God commanded three times, really, once through Moses to build a tabernacle. And then, of course, the temple by Solomon, and then by a pagan king through Cyrus, Cyrus allows the Jewish people to go back and to build second temple. And so this picture that's up there right now is actually every year the Jews, Orthodox, they want to rebuild the temple, and so they say these are the cornerstones of that new temple. And so they go about and they go around the city. They try to get up to the Temple Mount with it. Of course, they don't. And it would probably cause a big war. And so they try to say, you know, we want this temple rebuilt. And so we know that Netanyahu just recently has given some okay to the Orthodox Jews, and they want to, you know, they want to build it, and they have they getting together all the things to the menorah and the table of showbread and these different things that, in order to have this new temple and to have the sacrifices that we know that the Book of Daniel tells us about with the Antichrist, there will be another temple, but you know. In Isaiah 66, God says, what house are you building for me? Heaven is my throne. And so God's sort of saying, you know, look, I don't need a temple on earth to be built. And so what is the temple that God is working on? It's the temple of the church, right? As he says there, it's in the book of, I don't know, we'll get that scripture in a few minutes. But first, let's go to the next picture. So this is the menorah they believe that will go in this new temple that they're building and that they desire to have. And the next picture. So this picture and the next one is actually at the museum. It used to be out on the near a hotel. I forgot who exactly built it, but it's a replica of the second temple period. And so this is the temple there. And then now it's at the Israeli Museum there in Jerusalem. So the next picture, same thing, showing the temple, probably showing the Eastern Gate there. Next picture. Kind of hard to see this one, but that's a large stone. And on the inscription, it says, and go to the next picture. Next slide. As you can see, it's kind of hard even to read from here. Thank you. This was, so it was in the courtyard on the Temple Mount. So this stone is actually in modern-day Turkey, in their museum, a Muslim nation. And we know that Muslims, Yasser Arafat said, look, there's no way that Israel ever had a temple in Jerusalem. I want to be buried on the Temple Mount because, you know, we want to take control of it. And so, and then we have other sheikhs that are saying that Israel never had a temple, but yet in their Islamic museum is a stone stating that this was the place of the temple in Jerusalem. So it's kind of interesting. Next slide. So this is a picture of, the, of course, the Dome of the Rock and the Eastern Gate down at the bottom right. And so many believe, of course, that the Dome of the Rock has to be moved. Not everyone believes that. In order for Israel to have this a new temple that they want to build. Next slide. Picture me there by the Dome of the Rock. And of course, that's where they say that Muhammad ascended to heaven from this area, and that's why it's so sacred to them. The actual sacred spot, and I didn't put it in here, is called the Al-Aqsa Mosque, the furthest place, their holiest site. And the holiest is actually in Mecca there, and then the other is in Medina. So this is the third holiest site, the furthest place, Al-Aqsa Mosque. So next slide. Another picture of it. Okay, next slide. And looking at the Western Wall and then the Dome of the Rock there. And next slide. Okay, so I wanted to share just concerning these temples. So God commanded the three different temples, but we don't really see him commanding as he did this last temple that we know is going to take place. It's prophetic. It's found in the book of Daniel. Of course, Jesus said, when you see the abomination standing in the holy place, proclaim himself to be God. There in Matthew 24, he says, he tells Israel to flee. So we know that there is going to be another temple, but not as God had commanded. So what is the temple that he's working on? So we can go to that one scripture, please, Al, 1 Peter chapter 2. Starting, I think it starts with verse 4. I believe so. Mm-hmm. Yes, so coming to him, so Peter's writing, coming to him as a living stone, rejected indeed by men. So coming to this living stone, to him, and we know coming to Jesus, but it's chosen by God and precious. He says, you also as living stones, he's speaking to us as believers, are being built up a spiritual house. So God, what is the temple that God is working on? It's us, right? It's the church. It's the church of God. And so it's not about a temple. So when we went to Israel, it was all about, you know, well, we need to donate to build the new temple. We need to donate to, you know, pay for the menorah, for the high priests, and they're getting the high priests ready, and that was their whole focus. But what's God's focus? He goes on and he says there in verse 5, you also, living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the scripture. So Peter can be saying these things, but he says, look, it's contained. It is written in the scriptures. Behold, and this is out of Isaiah, behold, I lay in Zion, right? God is saying, I lay in Zion, a chief cornerstone. So one of the scriptures I didn't put in here, and I should have, is Jesus speaking in Matthew. If you have your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 21. So it's contained in the scriptures. Behold, I lay in Zion. So Matthew chapter 21. And Jesus is speaking to the Jews there, and he gives a parable of a wicked vine dresser. He says, I give you another parable, verse 33. There was a certain landowner who planted a vineyard and set a hedge around it. And he dug a wine press in and built a tower, and he leased it to vine dressers, and he went into a far country. So he leaves it with them and goes into this far country. And it says, and now when the vintage time came or drew near, he said to his servants, the vine dressers, what they might see, what they might receive its fruit. And the vine dressers took the servants, and so they take it, it goes through, and he sends others. And finally, he sends his son, Jesus, to them, saying, they will respect my son. But when the vine dressers saw the son, they came and they killed him, seized him, put him to death, as we know that they put Jesus to death, and killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do? He's questioning these Jewish people. He says, what will they do to these vine dressers? They said to him, he will destroy those wicked men miserably, and he will lease his vineyard to other vineyard vine dressers who will render to him the fruits of their seasons. And Jesus said to them, have you never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone? So we know Jesus is that chief cornerstone. We know that there's no other foundation. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3, and that's one of the scriptures we have there, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He says that there is no other foundation in building this house, this temple. He says in verse 9, for we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, you are God's building or house, temple, according to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, and the foundation he's going to go on and say, and another builds on it, but let each one of you take heed how he builds on it, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid in, which is Christ Jesus. So we see that Jesus is that cornerstone. He is that foundation. He is that one that God has set forth in this temple. So going on there in 1 Peter, back to 1 Peter, he says, so building this, and it's contained in the scriptures, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, verse 7, he is precious, but to those who are disobedient, and he tells us what the disobedience is, down further in verse 8, he says, they stumble because being disobedient to the word. You know, I have a Jewish doctor through the VA, and I got to share with him the other day concerning Jesus being the Messiah and how the scriptures point to him, and how the book of Daniel said that he would come just prior to the destruction of the temple of Solomon. And of course he denies, and he's listened to me at times, but you know, they're disobedient to the word. I share with him what the scriptures say and what God is saying in their scriptures, and yet he continues to deny that Jesus, in a sense, like it says here, who are disobedient to the word. But those who, verse 7, but those who are disobedient, and he says, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is out of Psalm, if you want to turn there, Psalm 118, verse 22. So this unimportant stone that the builders were, as they were building the temple, became the most important. And so with Jesus, right? They looked on him as nothing. They looked on him as just, you know, uneducated, and yet he became the foundation stone, that brings eternal life. So the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. And so Peter, in the book of Acts, talks about this stone. Turn to the book of Acts, and I believe that's one of them there, that's the scriptures, chapter 4 of the book of Acts. Of course, Peter was on the Temple Mount, and he has, through through Jesus, healed this man on the Temple Mount at the Golden Gate. And so they bring charges against him there because he's preaching in Jesus the resurrection. And of course, the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. And so Peter, it says in verse 8 of chapter 4, it says that Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if this day we are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you and all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands before you whole." And then notice what he says again, Peter being filled with the Holy Spirit, he says, "This is the stone which was rejected by the builders, which has become what? The chief cornerstone." So rejected by men, but yet God said, "No, this is what I'm doing. This is the temple that I'm building," right? We are the church, the temple that God is concerned about. And so, again, when we're in Israel, it's you know, all about the temple, and the government is starting to become involved in that. We know the Orthodox Jews are very involved with it. They, as I showed you, the cornerstone they take around, and they're preparing for with the menorahs and the table of showbread and the high priests, and they're ready to build. They want to build, but there's an obstacle, right? And we know it's the Hamas, it's the Muslim, that they want that Temple Mount because they say this is their holy spot. And so, like the book of Daniel says, there will come a contention, but there's going to be that covenant given at some point, according to Daniel 24:25, of which the temple will be rebuilt, and which there will be what? There will be sacrifices again in Israel for a period of time until that covenant is broken, as it says there in Daniel chapter 9, the breaking of that covenant and putting an end to those sacrifices. So there is going to be another temple, but is it one that God has commanded? No, the one God has commanded is what? That we go into all the world and preach the gospel and share the gospel and to raise up disciples. So there is salvation, he says, verse 12, there is not salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which you must be saved. And so we know that Jesus, right? And so he is that cornerstone. He is the one that is rejected and has become what? A stumbling stone. Look at, let's get back to Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2. And the last part of verse 8, and he says, "A stone of stumbling," it says, "and a rock of offense." A stumbling, again, because they are disobedient to the word of God. And so we know the Jewish nation, disobedient to God's word, rejecting Jesus, and he becomes a stumbling stone. So let's look at a passage that talks about Jesus being that stumbling stone. I don't think I have this one, Al, on there. So turn to Romans, book of Romans, chapter 9. And Paul here is of course, his prayer for Israel. He had great sorrow for his countrymen. And in chapter 10, his prayer was that Israel would be saved. But in chapter 9, starting in verse 30, he talks about that they didn't seek God by faith to be made righteous. They were pursuing it by the law, it says in verse 31. They've not attained to the law of righteousness. Why? He says in verse 32, because they did not seek it by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at the stumbling stone. As it is written, "Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone. So we see that God has laid in Zion a stone, Jesus, whoever believes on him, and it has two, accomplishes two things. Accomplishes us. We have the church, right? This temple of God. This is the temple that God is building, but it also has a work that it with Israel, with the Jewish people. It's a stumbling stone to them, and as he says here, for they stumble at that stumbling stone, and as it's written, behold. And so Paul uses this also. A stone, a rock of offense, and whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. But it stumbles them, right? They reject him. They totally reject, for the most part, that Jesus is their Messiah. So going on in chapter 10, he says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved, for I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes, right? It says he became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God. That's how we've been made righteous. What is the gospel of Christ? Turn to the book, a few pages back, the book of Romans. In chapter 1. And so he says here in chapter 1, verse 16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. This is speaking about the gospel of Christ. He says, I'm not ashamed. For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and for the Greek. For in it, so remember what he said there in Romans chapter 10, they being ignorant of the righteousness of God, seeking their own way, right? How many people in the world do that today? Ignorant of what God has said, ignorant of the righteousness of God. Not that God is righteous, but that God, the way to be righteous, have a righteous standing before him. And so he says, for the Greek, for in it, in what? The gospel of Christ, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As Abraham believed God, right? And it was accounted to him for righteousness, so we, not by our works, not by what we can do, and so the Jews also, you know, it's the gospel of Christ that we can be made righteous. And so they stumbled, as it says there, back to Romans, they stumble at the stumbling stone. So back to 1 Peter, or did we finish? I think we kind of finished, but yeah. So the rest of verse 8, they stumbled being disobedient to the word. So verse 8 of 1 Peter chapter 2. Being disobedient to the word, to which they were also appointed. But he says to us, we are a chosen generation. So this is the temple that God is working. So we get to Israel and we see it's all about, you know, building this next temple. But this is, as he says here, this is what God is doing. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, Jesus Christ. And so as Jesus said there to the Jews also, you know, have you never heard of that stumbling stone? Right? And so we are to, let's look at Ephesians chapter 2 and speaking of that temple that God is building. Chapter 2, sorry. Let's pick it up in verse 19 and we'll read through the end of chapter 2. I believe that's on there, right, Al?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. It says, now therefore you, verse 19, are no longer strangers and foreigners, Paul writing to those in Ephesus, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, so on the word of God, on the work of the Spirit, and you've been built on that, but Jesus Christ himself, the chief cornerstone. Without Jesus, or without that foundation, there we have nothing, right? It's Jesus. It has to begin with him. It doesn't begin by my good works. It doesn't begin by what I can do. It's built on that foundation, Jesus Christ. And in being the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. So again, that temple's on the Temple Mount, temples that Israel wants to build. No, this is the temple that God is working. This is the one he is building, us, right? The church. Into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built, being built together for a what? A dwelling place of God in the Spirit. So that's the one that God is working with. And so that's, we go into Malta, we go to Israel, we're going to go this semester and help with the Bible college there in the Golan Heights in a city called Katsurin. Up in the Golan Heights, we'll be teaching students, and then a couple of those students are actually going to go with us. Can you go back to the pictures, Al? And we're going to go into Malta after Israel. We'll be in Malta on the 5th, I think, of November through sometime in December. So this is the church there in Katsurin where the Bible school is at. And next picture. And then we're gonna go in with a couple of students into Malta. This is us in Malta last year. And we use the same board that we're using here when we go out and share the good news with people here. But there's just hundreds and hundreds, a continuous flow of people that walk by. They're tourists. There was like 8 million tourists, I think it was. 800,000 in the month of November last year. And they, for the most part, they're on this walkway because it leads to other places. And they stop, and we get to share the gospel with them. We give them a gospel of John. We pray with them to receive the Lord. We pray with them to be encouraged in the Lord. And so, next picture. Yeah, so that's Val. She's praying with one of the girls there. And so we have that opportunity to share the good news, to go out. You know, Jesus said, go into all the world, right, and preach the gospel, telling them all that I have said to you. And so we have that opportunity to do that each year. So far, this will be the third year that we've gone into Malta. But again, we'll be in Israel first, and I appreciate your prayers, and just that God will give us favor with the people, favor with the police. We haven't had any problems with that, but just favor with people, that people would truly hear the word of God, that they would respond to the gospel. And in Israel too, there's a lot going on in Israel, of course, right now with the hostage situation and the war, and just, you know, wanting the hostages released. But last time we were there, we had opportunity to talk to a lot of Jewish people that were open. Val led a young boy to the Lord. He was like, 18, something like that, at one of the sites where they were memorializing the people who were killed during October 7th of 23. And so there's the Jewish people are also open, but still they have that blindness. But as we go to Malta, it's a totally different. Malta is a very Catholic nation. It's a very, of course, Malta was a, it's where Paul shipwrecked, right? Acts 27 and 28. And so we get to go and take the students and visit the site. And they actually have in the museum one of the anchors. They believe to be one of the anchors off of Paul's ship. They found it at the correct depth, and it was in the right area, and so we get to visit that also. But mainly, we're there to share the gospel, and with Muslims, Hindus, we have a lot. There's a lot of Indian people there. There's a lot of people from Pakistan. There's just all over the world, from Peru, many different places. So appreciate your prayers. We have names are in the back on the prayer list to keep us in prayer. We appreciate that. And so just opportunity to share God's word. So Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for that work that you're doing in the world. We thank you, Lord, that though some reject your son, Lord, there's many, Lord, who desire to know and come and believe as they're being drawn by you to believe. And so we just pray for those who would believe there in Malta, in Israel, here also in Houston. Just continue that work here, Lord, to just those going out and sharing the good news, the gospel of Christ. They can be made righteous before you by faith, not by their good works, but by faith. So, Lord, just be with each one here and just give them many opportunities to share, Lord, and just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you haven't noticed, there's on the back table, there are Gospel of John's. If there's not enough, they're free for your taking. John, it says that John wrote, he says, I've written these things, many other miracles Jesus did, but these I have written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so John specifically was moved to write the scripture, write the Gospel of John, that they might, people might know truly who Jesus is. You know, Jesus said, he asked his disciples first, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they gave him two or three different, this is, I believe, in Matthew chapter 16. And they gave him, three or four answers. But then Jesus looked at Peter and he said, but Peter, who do you say that I am? And Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, man has not revealed these things to you, but my Father, which is in heaven. You know, we have to be born again from above. We have to be, you know, as Paul puts it, he says, he waters and plants. He plants and Apollos waters, but it's God who gives the growth, right? It's God who draws people. And so Peter confessed him to be the Christ, the Son of the living God, but it was his Father. Jesus said, my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. As you go out, as you share, give him the word, but remember, God is the one who's doing the work. He is the one who's going to bring them to himself by his Spirit. And so take those gospels, use them as you see, as you need. There's some cards there also that kind of can, you know, you can either lead them in prayer through it or send them home with it, and it kind of leads them in how to pray and to ask, right? They need to ask and believe in their heart that he was raised from the dead. So use those materials and share the gospel with people as you're able. So thank you very much and keep us in prayer. Thank you.